531. Alongside the general election tomorrow, the country will also have its say on two referendums, the cannabis legalisation and control referendum and end-of-life choice referendum. Late last year, the Doctors Say No open letter opposing euthanasia was presented to MPs at Parliament. The open letter stated that doctors want no part in assisted suicide, noting the World Medical Association, which represents physicians in 123 countries, and the New Zealand Medical Association positions that physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia are unethical, even if they were made legal. The letter has now gained 1,786 signatures from doctors the width and breadth of the country. One of those who signed the open letter was Dr. Luatupu Ioane Cleverly. She's based in Wellington and she joins us now on Pacific Breakfast for more. Mā loso I fua, Dr. Luatupu, and thank you so much for your time this morning.
And good morning to you all and to your program this morning.
Dr. Luatupu, firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself, your career, and you know why you wanted to become a doctor.
I am Samoan. I'm from the village. This is in Sanofata, which is about 25k from Apia to the east of Upolu. And I'm a specialist and working as a consultant here in general medicine department in Wellington Hospital, and also a senior clinical lecturer at the University of Otago, Wellington. And I've been a doctor for over 30 years, and I've worked in Papua New Guinea, Australia, and I still continue to do voluntary work at the National Hospital in Samoa, short stints once or twice a year, and the latest during the Samoa measles epidemic. So I think, overall, it's a calling and a vocation that you eventually sort of naturally come to it. And if you know, those were the options given to us when I was in Samoa, and fortunately enough to get into medicine.
One of the big three, as with Samoans, either doctor, lawyer, or engineer, or maybe a teacher. Always the main goal.
I think it was given what the opportunities are given to us. And if they say this is where you go, we'll just thank you.
Now, you signed the open letter. Why?
Okay, firstly, I'd like to say that my opinion and thoughts this morning are my own and not of my work or any other organization. Before I answer the question, some of my community work includes working with our Pacific communities here in Wellington region, and led a rally to Parliament last year to have our voice heard, proclaiming to parliamentarians that Pacific people say no to the end-of-life bill. And as you said this morning, that to date, the number of doctors of 1,800 signed the open letter because, as you said, it is quite unethical, the practice and the concept of euthanasia and doctor-assisted suicide, because seeing the role of the doctor will be fundamentally altered, as would the nature of the patient-doctor relationship. So in the new euthanasia era, the lethal drug is to be given as a medication, and the perception to patients and public, even the new breed of doctors, will regard the lethal drug as routine treatment option. You see, the doctor's Hippocratic Oath is a binding agreement that acts in the patient's interest. And it's as relevant to this day as it was when originated, about 5th century BC. About 2 years ago in the US, there was a survey done and it showed that younger doctors are opting out of the Hippocratic Oath because they feel it no longer holds in today's healthcare environment, because they're completely different priorities to current players now. And so the problem with healthcare now is that the bureaucrats and non-vulnerable actors are dictating cares and not the doctors. And this bill, the proponents of the bill and their arguments of respecting autonomy, it has a limit, because the New Zealand Bill of Rights has already allowed a person to refuse medical treatment that will preserve that person's life. And I feel generally that the doctors should be left and be trusted to do what they do best. And that is when to withdraw treatment because the treatment is futile and can be harmful for the patient, and it may kill the patient before the patient ends their life. And that is not assisted dying. That is not euthanasia, because doctors don't subscribe to the notion that human life must be preserved at all costs. And it's very important that we must be clear, this claim of right to die has to be distinguished from the right of the patient to be allowed or letting the patient die. And that's when the patient agrees, okay, I don't want any more treatment. And or we say, well, the treatment is no longer, you know, worthwhile and it's more harmful. And that is very different to actively giving a lethal drug to make that patient die. And it's just a common misconception and misunderstanding that I find when I speak to the public. This concept of euthanasia and assisted dying, which is mixed up with this withdrawal of treatment because it's no longer useful. I just want to mention the couple of things in relation to our Pacific culture and our Pacific context in relation to this bill. You see, the family, it's not the I, not the individual, it's our patient's basic unit and identity in our Pacific society. And the person's health is a whānau affair. And family here refers to not only you and your wife and children or nuclear family, but more commonly our extended family, our community and our whānau, our interconnectedness and relationships. So this individual right to choose, which shouldn't be disrespected, shall not wash over the importance of our connectedness to our family and community and the role they play and they see when we invite euthanasia as a part of their care. See, the criteria of the end-of-life choice bill of terminal illness, it largely affects Pacific Island population, Pacific people, and at younger ages compared with other populations. And terminal illnesses here that affect Pacific people are largely due to very severe bad heart, very severe heart failure, or very bad kidney failure, or lungs, or end-stage conditions, more so than cancer. It's like when you have pneumonia, you get treatment and you're cured because you can fix it. Or if you have your cancer detected early, you can fix it. But if you have very bad lungs or heart, it's mainly treat the symptoms. It's not going to fix, you know, the whole heart. And that's what is called terminal illnesses. And this is where the government and the Ministry of Health and palliative care services must be made more accessible throughout the country. So those are the major things, so many others, but those are things I just want to highlight. But I really like, if possible, that if we can go to the 10-question vote quiz, if that's okay. And what I'll do is that I'd like to ask you the question, you give me the answer, you only have less than a second to answer the questions. And the only answer is yes or no. And there's only one question, like it's not yes or no, and I'll say which one. Will that be all right?
Yes, and I'm going to ask Tau Ili, you join me on this quiz as well. So is this the, what's the name of the quiz? It's Vote...
It's Vote Safe Quiz. Okay. It's on the net. And I must say that also this Vote is one translation.
Yep.
Only in the questions, but not the answer. So I will read out the questions, and you only have less than half a second to say yes or no. And then I read out the Samoans, and then later on you tell me your score. Are you ready?
Okay then. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay then.
Okay, question one. Will the act automatically come into force if a majority vote in favour at the referendum?
No.
Yes.
Yes, the answer is yes. It is a binding referendum. Oops. And this means that if a majority votes in favour, the act will automatically come into force and start to operate as law as it is now written. So if the act is not safe in the way it is now written, those shortcomings will become part of the law. Question two, can a terminally ill person be eligible for assisted dying if they have depression or mental illness?
No.
The answer is yes.
Oh.
A terminally ill person can be eligible if they can also suffer from depression or mental illness. A person cannot be eligible if they only have a mental illness. So meaning a person could access assisted dying without first being given any support for the depression or mental health issue. So under this act, a person with a mental illness would still be competent to choose assisted dying. Third question, do the doctors who sign off the assisted dying need to have met the person before?
No.
The answer is no, correct. Both doctors could meet the person for the first time. This means that the doctors can sign off on someone's assisted death while knowing very little about the situation. Question four. What is the shortest time the assisted dying process could take? 4 days, 10 days, 20 days?
4 days.
4 days, correct. So according to the Ministry of Health, the process could take just 4 working days from request to death. So the Act allows people to request a lethal dose as soon as they receive a terminal diagnosis. So there's a real risk there that some will choose to end their life while still in shock or grief or under stress from receiving the bad news. In Canada, it requires a waiting period of 10 days. Hawaii requires 20 days. Oregon in America is 15 days. And Victoria, Australia, 9 days. Question five. Does a doctor have to talk to the person's family before providing assistance?
No. No.
Yes, Leanne. The answer is no. The patient doesn't have to talk to the person's family before signing off on a person's assisted death. So the doctor needs to ask to speak to the person's family, but the person can refuse permission. Question six. Do independent witnesses need to make sure that the person's choice is free from any pressure or coercion? The Samoan part for any Samoan listeners, it's a tawi leo mori mautu to a tasi mo tangata ngā se ngase wa hi whamutal soifua o na bā ili ma mauti no le lei e le o iai se whātau wā nau pos whamaros.
Yes.
No. The answer is no. The Act doesn't require any independent witnesses at any point in the process to confirm that the person is free from pressure or coercion. The doctor or nurse are not independent. Independent witnesses are included in any overseas assisted dying laws to reduce the risk of abuse. Question seven. Will this Act make it legal to turn off life support?
Yes.
Answer is no. Many people are confused about this. And this is what I said earlier. Withdrawal of treatment, you don't need that now because New Zealand law, and it has the Bill of Rights, it's already allowing you to refuse that because it's already legal to turn off life support. So this Act is not about turning off life support. It's about intentionally ending someone's life with a lethal dose. Question eight. Does a person need to be in physical pain to be eligible for assisted dying?
Yes.
Answer is no. A person doesn't need to be in physical pain to be eligible for assisted dying. The Act requires that the person has unbearable suffering, but doesn't state that it needs to be caused by physical pain. So often the suffering is psychological or due to loss of enjoyment. And many people assume that this Act will only be available to a few people with severe pain at the end of life. But this is not the case. Two more questions. You're doing well. Do people have to try any treatment options before requesting assisted dying?
Yes.
Yes, your answer?
Yes.
No. A person doesn't need to have tried any treatment before requesting assisted dying. Even in those options could be life-saving or life-prolonging. So under the Act, assisted dying doesn't have to be the last resort. Last question. Can an eligible 18-year-old receive a lethal dose without their parents knowing?
No.
Yes. This Act will allow eligible 18-year-olds to receive euthanasia or assisted suicide without their parents or whānau knowing. So the doctor must encourage the young person to tell others, but must also tell them they don't have to talk to anyone. And some families could find out about their assisted death when they receive the death certificate. So how many did you get right?
I think I got about maybe two or three.
Probably two or less.
Well, surprise, you know, don't be disheartened because unlike you, I didn't get 50%. See, this quiz has so far been done up to more than 150,000. And 70% of those respondents, their average score is 4 out of 10. So that really explains how much people don't fully understand the bill. So that's the quiz. And to me, my takeaway comments that I like to leave is that one is that the New Zealand health system, we have excellent palliative care services for terminally ill patients of all background, and the palliative care movement should be our writ that should be made easily accessible throughout New Zealand. And lastly, euthanasia doesn't solve end-of-life care needs, and euthanasia safeguards in any form will not protect the vulnerables. See, this push for euthanasia into the public has been at the level of individual who desires euthanasia. And the bill here to become an act is mainly to empower this. So the referendum is our opportunity to vote for a kind New Zealand society and a compassionate Aotearoa that you want, not the politics and not the law. So please vote no to the End of Life Joe's Bill.
And finally, I'm sorry, we don't have much time, but so manatu fa soa mo le tatou sa moe ua fa fofonga mai nei tai au fa mo le tok te loa tupu.
Ia, ole nā utu watu e tai aua le palliative care services o lo whaitutono ni usila e sili ma tai aua lea I lo o le pili o lo o whaia nei ma o le compassionate whulina a le nei society ma ia whautua atu I tatou pālota, ma ia tatou pālota I le ai, I le vote o lo, I le plebiscite o lo o whai nei. Whaftai tele lava.
Whaftai tele lava. Dr. Lua Tupu, Ioane Cleverly, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it. Ia manuia lawa le aso. Whaasoifua.
Whaftai.